Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. I'm back. It's Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. And do I got a special treat for you. You know, September of this year, I was on a music video set of De La Soul, and I had the opportunity to meet a vibrant and fantastic young lady. And not until recently did I find out that she shared the voice of one of the greatest, she shared the voice and participated in one of the greatest animated films of all time. Yes, I'm talking about Lion King. She was the voice of young Nala. Yes, you're about to meet her today. She's also known as a work on as in Chris Rock's hip-hop satire film CV4. She was Albertina. Yes, and her film and theater credentials are extensive, but when she's not performing, she is the voice for type 1 diabetes. She's been living with type 1 diabetes since 1991, and she's become the project ambassador for type 1 diabetes. She's also an advocate to finding the cure for type 1 diabetes. Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic and vibrant, please put your hands together for Nikita Kalam.
Thank you. I am so impressed with your masuwa. Babariki awawa.
You know, I do my thing. But before we move forward, I do have to ask you, can you feel the love tonight? Can you feel it?
Can you feel the love tonight?
All right. That's what I was talking about. What an experience. And, wow, you were so young when you was a part of that project, and you probably didn't even realize how big it was at the time, did you?
No, I went on an audition in 91, mm-hmm. and it was called The King of the Jungle. Wow. And then I got a call back a year later, and it was called Lion King. So when they're saying callback, I didn't even know what it was. And then I was thinking, you know, I don't know. I was thinking straight to video, like Rescuers Down Under or something. I went to Buena Vista to record on my first day. I was trying not to run late. James Earl Jones was leaving when I was coming, and I was like, oh, my God, that's James Earl Jones. But I couldn't be late. Still not realizing the magnitude. It wasn't really until the premiere. So I recorded in 92, and then the movie came out in 94. And it wasn't until the premiere I was like, oh, this is like the next big Disney movie. I was like, kind of part of history. This is kind of cool.
Yes, you are part of history. And just recently they re-released The Lion King.
Yes.
And I have to be honest with
you.
I recently saw the re-release, and that was my first time seeing Lion King. Somehow I skipped over the movie. And
that's your first time ever?
Yeah, shame on me. Shame on me. I skipped over it somehow, but it put me in tears. I ain't even going to lie. I was in the theater sniffling, trying to hold up my tears around young kids, too.
The premiere was just as huge as it was in 94. It was amazing. Like, still so much excitement around it. And we kind of grew up on Lion King in the 90s, so a lot of the kids who saw it in 94 were now bringing their husbands, their wives, their children. So I think that's another one of the reasons why it did so well this second time around, just the nostalgia, coming out again.
Yes, and I can imagine how big it was for you in your household growing up. I'm sure your mom was just like, come watch my daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
Come listen to my daughter. That's her voice.
every time somebody, some new family member or something came in town, or if she heard somebody hadn't seen it, we should just order the tickets, and we just have to go. Our big theater we used to always go to, we used to always go to Century City AMC. So I've seen Lion King like 10 million times.
Wow. So wait, you used to go back into the theater?
Yeah, she would, every time somebody would come in town, or it was almost like part of the tour. Like, you go to Hollywood to show them the stars, and then you go to the movie theater to see Lion King.
So the royalty checks that you're getting is your mostly your mom's money that you're getting.
That would be my money. Screen Actors Guild and the unions do pretty well to make sure, you know, when you're young, they set up the trust accounts and can't touch it till you're 18.
Yeah, and you started off literally as a child actor, and that's, you know, for most child actors, they don't do very well after their first film, and you've been very successful, obviously. You took a break, right?
Yeah, I took a break for college and grad school, so I kind of feel like, I don't feel like I'm starting over, but I feel like I'm kind of new to the scene, even though I've been acting since I was a kid, and some people, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just keep with the momentum? And my mom, she wasn't a stage mom, which I'm so thankful for. She was like, yeah, you can stop if you want to go to college. You can stop if you want to, you know. I mean, I could have did both, but I wanted to kind of have a life. I wanted to fully enjoy being on campus and in the dorms. You know, grad school, I went to New York, so that was fabulous, and, you know, started doing a lot of theater. So it's been fun, and I don't regret any stops, and I'm right back at it now that I'm done.
Yes. And I want to talk about your role in CB4 in just a second. But what I'm curious about is, like, has that been a benefit to you? So when you walk into an audition today, like, hey, how you doing? Yes, I'm Nikita, and I'm the voice of young Nyla.
Well, no, because, you know, you go in there with your headshot and resume, and kind of before you even start, the casting director is kind of skimming through your resume. And, in fact, I have this audition for The Game to be I forgot his name, but the little goofy sidekick has a girlfriend now, a recurring role. Mm-hmm. And it was my first time ever meeting for Robbie Reed. And the first thing she says, oh, my God, Lion King, I love that movie. So we talked for about 5 minutes about Lion King before I even auditioned. So it's just like people are still, like, super excited about that movie. It was a very special movie in the Disney line of classics.
Yes, indeed. Before we move on to CB4, we're going to take a call. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. I have the talented and vibrant Nikita Kalam on the line right now, and we're going to take a call. Ladies and gentlemen, you are calling from area code 562-562. You are on the line. What's your question or your comment?
Hey, Nikita, this is Sunshine. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Lovely. Thanks for asking. Hello, Motown. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Welcome. I got a bunch of questions for you. I pulled you up on the IMDb, and I'm one of those people that, of course, were very, very impressed with The Lion King. I'm a cartoon fanatic from the 60s.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know if you listened to Motown's show yesterday, but he had Paul Peterson on there. Paul Peterson was a child star from the Donna Reed Show. And
okay.
I've learned a lot just from listening to him, so I'm very, very thankful for Motown's show, because he was able to have him out there. And you having had the experience of being a child star, I first of all need to, my comment is to commend you and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
God bless your mother for not being
a
stage mom, for letting you make the decision to be a child and grow up and go to school and experience, you know, life.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful decision. I'm so proud of anybody that does that. But
in fact, sometimes when I was on the set for Lion King, you know, with kids, it's kind of just like, day at the job. And afterwards, I'd be like, okay, now it's time to go to my cousin's house and play. And she'd be like, okay.
See, and that's a really, really good thing. I mean, see, and you weren't, God, I don't know how to say, and I'll get off my soapbox because I can go on. That was a wonderful decision for you to do. Now, I have a couple questions. You have It sounds like your mother was very, very sharp on the situation, and so they put money aside for you in trust, in like a Coogan account. Is that how that works?
Yes, that's how, when you're a minor, well, you get some of it, but a big portion of it goes into trust, and you can't touch that until you're 18. So it helps
with
college.
But you had no problem getting it when you were 18 then?
No.
Oh, see, that's wonderful, because a lot of people did, and because they did, that's why they did those Coogan accounts. So that's a wonderful thing. And so how do you get your auditions now? Do you have an agent?
Yes, I'm actually with Media Artist Group and Jeff Wolfman. And so, you know, just the normal everyday hustle. Like, I just had an audition for a CSI maybe a week ago. You diversify, and I also teach drama and musical theater to young kids 7 to 14 privately.
Where do you teach that at?
Usually I have private students, but if it's a group setting, then I do have a studio that I rent out when it's a larger group. And then sometimes people hire me to come out. Like, I went to San Francisco earlier this year for a performing arts program that they had, so they flew me out, and I did like a two-week intensive with the kids. So it kind of just depends on the client.
For the sake of time, Sunshine, we're going to keep it moving. But go ahead, you can go ahead and say your last statements.
Nikita, I just want to ask you real quick. What do you do when you have, since you're teaching now as well as everything else you do? What do you do should you run into a situation with stage parents that you can tell aren't doing the best for their children? What do you do for that? Is there any way that you can help them?
Usually, it's a tricky situation to get into talking to parents about it. But there was some time where I saw where the mom was a little hectic with the kid, and I kind of just told her to relax, like, no, she's doing fine. You know what? Sometimes the parents get almost more nervous than the kids are, and I kind of just calmed the parent down because the kid was actually doing fine. But I send them over to SAG or other resources that I know so that they can do their own research in terms of how to deal with the money situation and everything like that.
Right, and I know I need to let you off the phone because this is not why I'm not here to sit and talk to you all day. That wouldn't be fair to you. But you're doing. I love your pictures. Your pictures are wonderful. I wish you continued success, and you're already doing a wonderful thing. So you have a great day.
Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
You take care. Great job on Lion King.
Thank you.
You gotta love Sunshine. She always brings the sunshine. Indeed. She really does. She really does. Thank you so much, Sunshine, for all your support. I want to talk about CB4, and we're going to definitely talk about your In Motion, exactly what you were talking about, what you do with the kids, the private lessons. We're going to get back to that towards the end of the show. But I want to talk about your experience with CB4 and meeting Chris Rock, and how was that?
Well, that was an interesting process. That actually got me my SAG card, so that was a big moment. I auditioned for a totally different role. It was his friend's family, who had like five or six sisters
mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like one scene around the dinner table. But then when I auditioned, I looked so much like the mom and dad of Chris Rock that they hired that they
mm-hmm.
wrote in that role for me. So
wow.
He didn't originally have a sister. So then I got more lines and two scenes, and it was a great experience. I think I was 12 around. It was kind of the same time around Lion King, because CB4 came first, and then the next year was Lion King. So it was kind of, I was getting on a momentum, like movie every year.
Nice.
But that was another one where that was an R-rated film.
Yeah, that's
and my
not
mom
exactly
had,
G-rated
my mom
like
had,
Lion.
Yeah, the premiere, my mom had told all the deacons and everybody at church, oh, come. And then we saw the movie, and she was like, oh, my gosh, I have to uninvite them to this movie. But all my regular friends and family went out and saw it.
Oh, no, that is so funny. So the deacons never made it to the movie, did they?
Hopefully not. Well, my part was fine, but I don't know if they would have handled that other R-rated stuff.
Oh, wow, that is funny.
Well, they probably had a special prayer request for you if they ever saw that one.
Hey, it got me my SAG card and my scenes are fine.
Yes. I mean, it seems like you've been so blessed when it comes to walking into auditions, because you said your very first audition, you ran into what, Cindy Poitier, correct?
Yes, my very first audition was for this movie that Bill Cosby did called Ghost Dads. Mm-hmm. I was auditioning to be Bill Cosby's daughter in that film. And when I walked in, it was Sydney Poitier. And I was still fairly young, but I knew his face. And it wasn't until grad school, Lloyd Richards was one of the teachers at my grad school, and he brought in Sydney Poitier for like a talk back session with the students.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this man is a legend, and he was the first person I auditioned for. That's like really cool. And it kind of came full circle as an adult, getting to talk to him versus when I was at little kid in the audition room.
Yes. And you have such a distinct look in terms of especially period pieces. And then that's probably why you did so well in the Brewster Place and some of the other theater work
you
do.
I was in a film called Women in Hats, and it's actually been accepted into the San Diego Christian Film Festival in December 27th through the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that, to go down there and see that. Yeah, I love period pieces. I kind of have an old soul. I love vintage. I love 20s, 30s, 70s. I love it. So it's really fun to do that film because it's 40s, and we have all the 40s cars and the big hats and the costumes and everything. So I was in heaven.
Yeah. And, I realized that I got like a period look too, this Steve Urkel period look. A Steve Urkel. I didn't realize.
We fit right into that De La Soul 50 scene.
Yes, we did. I didn't know what to expect. They threw something on me and they was happy, and you just had the look already. So look out for us in the upcoming De La Soul video. Must Be the Music, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the name of the song. So
that
should be fun. I can't wait to see that.
I know.
And before we get into the other portion of your show, I just want to also acknowledge the fact that you are producing and co-producing things right now. How does that transition?
Yeah, I co-produced a film called Manny Man Up with Denton Adams, who's the director, and the name of his company is Checkmate Studios. And we got accepted into the San Francisco Black Film Festival this year.
Congratulations to that. Congratulations to that. Let's clap it up.
I was pretty excited about that. That was my first time running around, picking up stuff and cooking and whatever I could do, trying to get money. And, it was fun. Locations
and campaigning, huh?
Not being in front of the camera for the first time.
Yes, campaigning for the cause. Do you see a lot of more co-producing in your future, or producing and directing?
Well, I actually wrote a film called Never the Bride, and we're in pre-production with that. So now I have my whole team, so now we're just looking at the fundraising for that. I have a great cast: Nedra McCly, Brett Collier, Julianne Hall, Walter Simpson. Shout out to my actor friends. So we're going to have a lot of fun. Donovan Harris, we're going to have a lot of fun on that one once we get the money to shoot it.
Excellent. Keep me posted on that. I'm really excited. That's exciting. When you start casting,
and that producer is Maya Roseman, who I've worked with on other projects, but she's going to help out on the producing side for that.
Sounds fantastic. So when you start casting, don't forget about a brother that can pull off a Steve Urkel on the fly. Don't forget about a brother.
I won't. There might be a part in the movie for you. There's a little comedic part in a lounge scene.
I can do it. Holla at a brother.
I will.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. You're listening to me and Nikita Klamen.
Kalam.
I'm all messing up your name. Nikita Kalam. She's on the line, and she's got such a wonderful resume. But besides her resume, she's also been living with type 1 diabetes since 1999. And as I said in my intro, she's an advocate for finding the cure. She's also an ambassador. Nikita, please take us back to 1999 when you realized that you were living with type 1 diabetes and how it led into you being such an advocate today.
Well, I had all the classic symptoms. I started losing weight it's so interesting when you think about image, too, because everyone's like, oh, you look great. And I'm like, but I'm not doing anything to lose weight. This is weird. But it was fun going in and just, you know, shopping and fitting into whatever. But I was like, something is wrong. I was thirsty. I could drink like a whole pack of Capri Sun in one day. It was just all bad. And then when I got back home for summer break, I went into the hospital. It got so bad, I went into the hospital, and my ketones were like 1,000 or something, which is really high. And the doctor said, you have type 1 diabetes, which is juvenile diabetes, different from type 2, which most of the media covers. It's an autoimmune disease where type 2 is more environmental. And I was like, oh, my gosh, am I going to be able to act again? And the doctor was like, well, you know, Halle Berry has type 1, and she's doing fine. So one day I'd love to talk to her and say, so how was it when you first started out with the hectic schedules? And also her having a baby and being type 1, is I'd be interested in hearing about that. And, yeah, one day.
So for why but did you make – go ahead. Go ahead.
Why did I what?
No. Go ahead.
I was saying to – fast forward to now, it's my ultimate goal to be a spokesperson for type 1 diabetes. But earlier this year, I was selected to be a lobbyist at the Call to Congress event in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So they have a few delegates from each state represent the American Diabetes Association. And we basically were trained with our talking points, and we went up on the Hill, talked to different offices on the Senate side and the Congress side, talking about raising money, not cutting funding for research in diabetes. We told our testimonies and how important research is. Like, when I was diagnosed, there was no pump. And for diabetics out there, know that the pump is almost working like a pancreas. People are like, oh, it's changed my life. I don't even have to think about it anymore. So that's something that just happened. And the meters, the testing meters, all of those are always changing, but that's from funding for research. So mm-hmm. they just had the Juvenile Diabetes Association just had their walk because November was Diabetes Awareness Month. So a lot of lobbying and a lot of talking to people and getting people to call their local officials to just make sure that they don't forget about us.
Wow. So why did you find it so important to become a lobbyist? Because, I mean, you could have been treating your situation by yourself, but you mm-hmm. found it. You found the passion within your soul to be a lobbyist and maybe one day be a spokesperson.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think with every situation that puts such an impact on your life, you need a team. You need a support system. I've been researching and found, like, there's this type 1 adult group, so I, like, joined that. I'm always about, okay, who else has this? Because it could be very lonely and very frustrating if you try to deal with mm-hmm. hardships and things on your own. And then once you open your mouth, you realize there's a world out there of people who are going through exactly what you're going through, which I think is the important thing about being a spokesperson, is telling your story, you know, connecting with others who are going through the same thing that you're going through. Mm-hmm. So that's what initially got me wanting to be active and not just being this type 1 diabetic sitting at home, like, boo-hoo, crying. And then when I went to the Hill and met all these type 1, because I didn't even really know too many type 1s, because usually the commercials you see, all the media surrounding type 2, which is adult onset, so I was just like, okay, who, what about type 1? So I met all these type 1 people, and we were sharing our stories and, you know, different things to help out the disease. So it was just mm-hmm. great. And then, you know, just like in the acting world, work leads to more work. So from there, with the juvenile diabetes, they asked me to be lead vocalist on this song called Promise to Remember Me. Yeah. Which is on YouTube at the moment.
Okay.
That we're climbing in hits, but they played it at their walk, which was at Dodger Stadium. That's their big fundraiser every year. They raise like millions of dollars through their walk. Mm-hmm. So that's just another avenue to get the word out there about type 1. And then in February, I'm going to be a keynote speaker at an ADA function for it's called a family retreat in Lake Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be doctors there, and I'll be one of the type one, like, keynote speakers. So that's cool. So everything's just, you know, leading to more things.
Well, congratulations to you, and I commend you on all your hard work you're doing. How can people support this cause? Is there a way that they can sign a petition or they can make a donation?
Well, yeah, there's numerous of campaigns going on right now at JDRF. If you just go to www.jdrf.org, if you just want to know general information about type 1 and type 2, you can always go to the ADA, which is the American Diabetes Association. So that's like the, you know, American Diabetes Association and JDRF are two different ones. So JDRF is just dealing with type 1 juvenile diabetes. So you can go onto their website and find out all kind of, they have all kind of information, like type 1s transitioning into college, because, you know, you're not going to be eating as right as when your parents were making all your food, but you have to stay on that because you have type 1. So they have all kind of information, even like nurses not being in elementary schools and little kids having to walk from their, you know, there was this one story, this mom was scared because her son's blood sugar was going low and he wanted to eat candy, but the teacher wouldn't let him because she thought he was just wanting to eat candy. So even spreading information to teachers and stuff in elementary schools and preschools is very important. It's really serious, but yeah, we're doing our best to spread the information.
And all the listeners on the show is going to also do their best to continue to spread the information.
Yes,
is it also
yes.
a part of your program when your private lessons with kids, your in-motion private lessons?
I haven't had a type 1 like group, but when I do this family retreat, they might have me do a musical theater workshop, and that'll be all type 1 diabetes. So they'll get to – and there it's actually a Lion King theme. It's like Circle of Life, and – They got Disney to donate all these Nala dolls, and they're gonna have a screening of the 3D, and they got 3D glasses donated, so that'll be fun for the kids. And we'll probably talk about, you know, entertainment and type 1, having diabetes, and, you know, being in the entertainment industry with crazy hours and not being able to eat when you want to eat and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just have so many awesome things going on right now. Like you said, work brings work. I want you to go ahead as we close out this show. I want you to go ahead. I mean, you have many experiences in the industry as a child. You're a working actor right now. You're an advocate for type 1 diabetes. And there's somebody out there listening right now that has no clue on what this crazy business of Hollywood is all about. But I know you know exactly what it's all about and how you can make the business your friend and not your enemy. Talk to that person right now.
I would say for any newcomers, number one, I would say to make rejection your friend, because theater sometimes is a little different than film and TV. But sometimes it's not you always bring your talent. You always, you know, make a strong choice. You always have fun. They don't want you to fail. The casting directors don't want you to fail. They want you to succeed. But sometimes, like the CB4 situation, I mean, you have to have your, you know, talent and be prepared. But I look like the mom and dad. So they're like, I'm just going to write in this role. Sometimes it just happens that way, you know.
Yeah,
and other times it's, you know, some down to two people, like Lion King, and me and this one other girl were at the callback, and then it was just down to talent and which voice they liked. So there's all things that go into it. I would say definitely stay in a class, or, you know, constantly work on your craft. A lot of times actors are like, oh, I just have talent. It's like, no. When a doctor becomes a doctor, he doesn't stop reading. You know,
that's
like,
right.
Oh, I'm a doctor now. I don't need, or I'm a lawyer. I don't need to keep up with the new laws. Like, acting, treat it just as any other profession. It is a profession. It's, unless you want it to be a hobby. Some people have a hobby kind of career, and some people make it a profession. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, do something towards your career every day, even if it's just listening to an interview of your favorite actor or actress. Have a mentor, someone who's been there, done that, who can show you the ropes. Those are all important things.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. I'm talking to Nikita Kalam. She's on the line. We're about to go off the air, but we're going to keep this party going because we have one more caller who wants to talk to you. This is going to be the last caller, more than likely, for the show. So make sure if you get cut off, you can call in on the call-in number, and you can listen in. Ladies and gentlemen, area code 713, area code 713, you are on the line right now. What's your question or your comment?
Hi, Nikita. My name is Sam, and I would just like to commend you for your support for diabetes type 1 because I know you said that it is something that's more rare and a lot of people don't really stick up for it. So I just want to commend you, and I think that you're awesome for that.
Oh, thank you. Do you have type 1? Or?
No, I actually have sickle cell anemia, which is another disease that's really not heard of or
right.
very researched on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just commend you for bringing out that you have diabetes type 1 for other people out there that, you know, probably felt like you, like there's no one else around that
right,
has
right.
it and just the support of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be very lonely if you just, like, stick with yourself. You kind of have to branch out and find groups, and it makes it easier to deal with.
Yeah, I think you're wonderful for that. Just wanted to tell you.
Oh, thank you.
thank you for calling, Sam. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your show, Motown.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, man, you have, just by you talking, I can see how people feel so connected with you. Do you get that on a regular basis?
I don't know.
Oh, this is your humble, modest side. You're so passionate and sweet. You're not a Scorpio, are you?
Yes, I am.
So that's
November
that's what
10th.
It is. That's
Scorpios
what it
are very
is.
Passionate.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Did you celebrate your birthday with excitement?
I did. Well, on my actual birthday, I had a few health complications, but now that I'm better, I went to Zen Sushi Lounge and karaoke in Culver City that my friend Mario Singleton hosts on every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, it was so much fun. About 20 of my friends came out, and we sang Poison, BBD, and all kinds of songs. Even broke out some of the old dance moves. And I actually won the contest, so I had a good birthday. Yeah,
that sounds like a good birthday. Celebration is important in this industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Celebration is definitely important, and I'm glad to know that you are celebrating.
Yes,
definitely,
I've had a birthday since I was one. My mom celebrated every single year.
Oh, wow. What a great way. Great mom. Big ups to your mom. Give him your
yeah,
mom.
She's
tell
the
her
best
Motown
mom.
Maurice said,
so
thank
supportive.
You. Thank you for being a good mom, you know? Thank you
yeah.
indeed. So I want, you know, just by the callers who called in, they like you, they want to stay connected with you, and I'm sure there are others who are listening that want to continue to stay connected with you. How could they find you online, or should they just Google your name? What's the best way to stay in touch with what you're doing?
Well, my website is http, you know, //, nikitakalam.weebly.com,
mm-hmm.
and then I also have a blog. That is Nikita Kalam blogspot.com. It's Starlight, Starbright, but those come up on if you Google my name. But I have the links on my website.
And that's Kalam with a C, right?
Yes, Kalame, and my first name Nikita, Nikita Kalam.
Nikita Kalam. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice, and I have Nikita Kalam on the phone, the advocate for finding the cure for type 1 diabetes. Thank you for all that you do. The audience loves you. You are a great person, an inspiration. You're so vibrant and sweet. Keep the passion. Keep the fire. And I am on your team. Just know that. And remember, I am on your team. Thank you for being on the show. This has been an excellent show. I can't wait to pass this on so more people can hear your story and your message. Is that all right with you?
Thanks for having me on your show, Motown.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Look, I know we ran over time, but I have to squeeze in one more question. Is it possible?
Oh, go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. You're so nice. You're so beautiful. Nikita Kalam.
Yes.
Would you happen to know who's the future of late night television?
Let me see. Could it possibly be Motown Maurice?
Ding, 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 ding. That is the right answer.
I think so.
Yes,
future of late night.
That is me. And you know the answer. And now everybody else too. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your story, your passion. Asuanya, ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba. Thank you so much. Hey, tell them when they're doing Lion King Part 2, they got the right person right here, all
right? Right, right. You can be right there with Rafiki.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you, Nikita, and we will definitely be in touch, and thank you for all that you do, all right?
Thank you for having me. I had fun.
Absolutely. You're very welcome. Take care.
Okay. All right.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nikita Kalam on the Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. She's hustling and shuffling, a child actor, very successful. She's been on The Lion King as young Nala. She's been on Chris Rock CB4, and she's continuing and continuing. She's fighting for the cure for type 1 diabetes, and we're all on her team. If you're listening to this interview, join the campaign, join the fight, fight against it. Find the cure. Let's do it together. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm signing out. Make sure you check me out on my blog at MotownMaurice.com. That's MotownMaurice.com. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, thank you, Nikita. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. Sunshine and Sam, thank you. Thank you. God bless and peace.